Hey guys, welcome back to Vertical Momentum. I'm your host, Richard Kaufman, also known as the Comeback Coach. Guys, is your business automated? Are you using AI? Are you not great at automation and AI, but you're great at whatever you do? Well, we're going to be talking to somebody that's changed my life and my business over the last 60 days. His name is Joey Brown. We're going to be talking about his podcast. I mean, we're going to be talking about his business, which is actually helping my podcast. We've grown 12x since starting using what he's teaching us. And this episode is being brought to you by the Warrior Council. If you're a veteran, if you're an entrepreneur, you need to be involved in the Warrior Council. And I'm sure we'll talk about that in a little bit. So, Joey, my brother, what's going on?
Hey, thanks for having me on the show.
Brother, I'm so grateful and I'm so humbled and honored that you come on the show. But I'm so grateful that you've helped me over the last 60 days. And my business has really taken off because of your teachings. So first question I have is, what is your definition of resiliency? Because obviously being in business, being a veteran, your life hasn't always been sunshine, rainbows, and Skittles. So tell, you know, what is your definition of resiliency?
Yeah, so I'd say for me, I mean, resiliency, and I spend a lot of time kind of thinking about, challenges and that kind of thing. Being resilient to me is the ability to continue to overcome, you know, because I think the more that I've done stuff, you know, in the military and after leaving, I kind of realized, you know, there's always something new to do. And, you know, the only way that you lose more or less is if you quit. And so the resilient piece comes in where it's like, okay, how quickly do you, bounce back, move forward, deflect and learn from a setback. Because you either win or you learn is the way I look at it, which I know is a bit cliche, but I think that's where the resiliency piece comes in. So,
okay. So, you know, give us a little background, a quick down and dirty, you know, where'd you come from? Where'd you grow up? And how did you become the force that you are today?
Yeah. So I was born in Durham, North Carolina, and lived there until I was about, I think, 8. Then we moved to my grandparents' farm, which was a little further south, kind of south of Raleigh, so central North Carolina still. Did decent in school. Ended up being, like a lot of people, I would say my age, affected by September 11th to join the military. And so I ended up kind of looking at a couple of different options. I was looking at either the Air Force or the Navy. And then ended up deciding on Air Force, went to school for engineering, didn't know if I was going to fly or be an engineer. And then I got a chance to fly for the first time. And I was like, this is what I want to do. So then I ended up going from there to fly the F-15E, the two-seat F-15 as a backseater. I did that for 7 years, got out in March of 2020. So right as COVID happened kind of, you know, worked through that, went into the defense contracting kind of space, and then more recently got into the AI automation marketing stuff. So that's
all right. So now, you know, I was happy that we were going to talk, but then, you know, I'm a big Coastal Carolina guy, and you guys just took our starting quarterback, Grayson McCall, at NC State. So I wasn't exactly happy about that. So talk to us a little bit about, growing up, especially in that part of North Carolina, and how did you went to college, correct?
Yep. Yeah, I went to school at NC State and did aerospace engineering.
So, you know, what was it like growing up, you know, in North Carolina? Because I'm a Carolina guy. I'm a South Carolina, North Carolina guy. So what was it like growing up in the Carolinas and then going to basic training, where it seems like everybody in the world goes there and you're meeting people from all over the world? What was that like?
Yeah, I mean, I loved it. I got an opportunity to grow up on a farm for a good portion of it, which I loved. We did. My grandparents, at that point, they weren't farming the main portion of it themselves. They had sharecropped the land out to somebody to do tobacco, which is, you know, North Carolina's unofficial state vegetable. but yeah, so it was like tobacco and soybean farm. And then they had a greenhouse operation they ran with about, it was two big greenhouses, but they did like indoor plants, mums, ferns, kind of decorative plants. They did about 10 to 15,000 a year of those. So it's pretty decent little operation. And so I just kind of grew up around that, you know, rural country, you know, background, which was nice. And I found myself back in the country again, where I live now, in the western part of North Carolina. So, and just enjoy that, lifestyle, but it was definitely different, you know, going to school at, you know, Raleigh, which is a big city. And then, going through like, you know, the RTC equivalent of basic, meeting people from all different, you know, walks of life and that kind of thing. But, yeah, it was fun. It was definitely eye-opening. And then, you know, getting to travel in the military, I'd never, this is, a lot of people think this is kind of funny, but I'd never even been on an airplane, like even a commercial flight, before. I was already in the Air Force as an ROTC cadet. And so I just kind of committed from there. So
what is it, because obviously I was a tanker. I was never smart enough to be on any plane. And I don't think anybody would ever want me in a plane to begin with, but you know, a lot of people, we see these movies, Top Gun and all this stuff, but what is it actually like being in the cockpit? And what was your first actually flight like, and how were you feeling inside?
It's awesome. I mean, there's no other way to say that. It's great. I did actually. So I got air sick for quite a bit. So my first flights were maybe not quite as enjoyable, but it was still awesome. And it took me a little bit to work through that. But yeah, so you start out for your first flight's not in a fighter jet. You start out in one of the trainer aircraft. And so for me, that was the T-6 down at Pensacola. And yeah, I still remember like my first ride. You know, there they call it your dollar ride. So you take literally a dollar bill and decorate it to give it to your instructor. I got, you know, airsick, but recovered and did well from there. So
now, were you deployed at all?
Yeah, I did two deployments. One was 17 to 18, and then the other was 2019, right before I got out.
So that was all Afghanistan?
No, it was actually OIR type, Iraq, Syria, counter ISIS stuff. So that first one was all OIR, Operation Inherent Resolve. Try to catch myself on the acronyms there, but yeah, that was kind of the counter ISIS thing. So we were flying missions mostly in Syria there to take out ISIS. And then the second deployment was actually kind of a short notice in summer of 2019 when Iran shot the drone down.
Yep.
Out over the Strait. We got activated to go kind of just be a presence. And we didn't actually obviously go do anything, thankfully. But we were kind of there as a deterrent against Iran.
But you did get in some shit over Syria, right?
I did, yeah.
Well, and we're not going to go into the, you know, details. That's not what we do. But because I've had a couple Apache helicopter pilots come on, and they said a lot of times when they got out a couple years later, they were dealing with stuff like moral injury, because a lot of times they didn't see the faces of the people that they had to take out. Did you ever deal with any of that stuff, or did you come back all right?
I did have to deal with some of that stuff. So I ended up going, when I got out, I went into the Air National Guard as a TACP officer, and it really worked out. I think, you know, God certainly kind of planned this out in some ways. I was able to, they brought in like a counselor, and we kind of had an interesting connection to where she had helped. There was a helicopter that crashed when I was over there on my first deployment. It was an accident. It wasn't like enemy fire or anything, but it was Jolly 5-1 is the call sign that was flying. And they, it was a two ship. So Jolly 5-2 witnessed it. We actually were the first fighters to show up on station to help with the recovery effort. And so after all that, they ended up actually sending Jolly 5-2 home, which is was unprecedented at the time to, like, you know, send somebody home in the middle of their deployment like that. But she was the psychiatrist or psychologist that they brought in to help the Jolly 5-2 crew. And then our unit actually brought her in to help. And so that was what the first time I, like, had, you know, the thoughts of, like, well, maybe I do need to talk to somebody. And it's definitely been a positive thing for me from there. So,
so how many years did you do?
7 active, and then I'm still in the Guard. So I'm coming up on 10 years now.
Okay. And obviously we don't divulge any OPSEC stuff. So that's as far as we're going to go with that. But now, because being in the Guard, because I did 23 years National Guard and Army time, you're not really soldier, and you're not 100% soldier, and you're not 100% civilian. So you're kind of like stuck in this weird dichotomy. So talk to us about what life is like as a Guard member, and how do you stay focused on both at the same time?
Yeah, it's a nice, for me, it's a nice balance still. Obviously, coming from the active duty, it was, you know, way reduced in terms of the commitment, the amount of training that you have to do, that kind of stuff. And so I enjoy it. I've got a really good group unit that I'm in. And, you know, we still spend a lot of time training and focusing on, you know, the what we might have to go do kind of scenarios. But I mean, I understand, and I'm like, have the self-awareness to go, I'm not at the point I was when I was on active duty, obviously. And I, you know, I think for me, the biggest benefit in the way I've kind of shifted the perspective is obviously, you know, if there's national service that's required, that is part of, you know, potential of being in the Guard, and has been for a long time. But I would actually kind of enjoy the state aspect of things, like helping out the state, helping out locally. And that's kind of where I've tried to focus more so, from, you know, having that mindset. And, you know, one of our chief enlisted guy, when I showed up, you know, that was one of the first things he said to me was, like, we understand that this is not what, you know, keeps your family fed, and this is not what pays the bills. This is kind of like something you do on top of your, you know, your regular life. And so they understand that, they have a good balance between the two. And that's definitely helped make it something that I'm going to, you know, stick with.
So obviously, as an engineer, you're a very analytical kind of dude. I'm big picture, and I'm sure you love to get down into the minutia of stuff like that. So how did you start getting into the crazy world of business, automation, AI? Was this while you were in still active duty that you started to play with this stuff?
No, this all happened after I got out. It's kind of an interesting twist of events. So when I got out in March of 2020, I realized, you know, everything got shut down with COVID, and I realized that me getting out, there was a lot that I wasn't prepared for. And so I was kind of like, okay, well, how can I help people that, you know, maybe going through the same thing that I'm going through? I got out fairly quickly in terms of, like, the timeline of everything. And things worked out well, but I realized it doesn't always work out that way. So I started the brand originally actually focused on helping veterans. And the more I got into that space, I realized there's actually a ton of resources out there already. And so I wanted to kind of, like, more so connect people to existing resources instead of becoming, you know, a nonprofit or something like that. And then that kind of morphed into more of a self-improvement focus. And so what got me into the software side was I was actually working on mindset and personal development type coaching. And I had a call with actually somebody you've had on the show, Tanner Chittister.
I love Tanner. Tanner, yeah. Tanner is truly amazing.
Yeah. And if he sees this, he probably doesn't even remember the call he had with me. I did one of their 5-day, like, workshop things. And if you did everything in the workshop, you got to have a conversation with him on Zoom.
I'll tag him in this too, just so let me know that we're talking about him.
Yeah, no, that would be great. So in the conversation, I was talking about, you know, what I was doing with the coaching, and he said, you know, it's really cool, your backstory and flying fighter jets and all that. But, you know, and he said it nicer than I'm going to say it, but he was like, you know, no one really cares. in terms of the fact of like, if you're not providing value, doing something for them. And he was like, I would focus, you know, health, wealth, relationships. And so I kind of thought about it and I was like, well, you know, I definitely don't want to do relationship, you know, space or offer advice or anything like that. I didn't want to go to fitness health route. And so I tried to think of like, how could I help in the wealth, which is obviously a super broad category. And I'd been using software to run the back end of my business and realized that I just enjoyed the software a lot more. And so in March of last year, I basically did a complete pivot and said, okay, I'm going to help build the back end systems and go that route. And so we're coming up on a year doing that. And I love it. It's going great. So,
and you have some amazing clients, and thank you for letting me be one of them. You have some great real estate clients that are crushing it because of you helping them. And we'll talk about that a little bit. So, but how, you know, because even something the Warrior Council taught me is, for me, I had to niche down to where until it actually hurt. And that I learned that from a guy named Stephen Eugene Kuhn. He taught me I had to niche down until it hurt. So how did you niche down until you found, because there's a million things to do with businesses, AI, automation. So how did you figure out the things how did you narrow down the niche to where you're going to be known as the guy?
Yep.
So how did you do that?
Yeah. So it's funny. I would consider myself just now getting to that stage. And obviously, you know, you've heard the advice. I've heard the advice. Alex Ramosi says, don't make me niche slap you. Right. And
the riches are in the niches, baby.
Yeah. So when I started, I was kind of a general all-in-one like automation. My first client was actually a website build. My second client was more like landing page into booking calls. He was a career coach, or is a career coach. And so, you know, two very broad areas, right? Like a website, restaurant, and a career coaching consultant type person. And so for a long time, I was like, well, I'll just do, you know, the software, the back end, which is still not like specific and niche down enough. And so more recently, over the last few months, and actually since joining the Warrior Council, has kind of helped me focus in on this. I'm focusing on the one product that I'm kind of niching down more so in the service offering, as opposed to niching down in the industry, which in some ways also niches the industries down, because I'm focusing on the AI powered appointment booking services. So, you know, if you're a service based business that books, you know, discovery calls, sales calls, whatever type of calls where you're, you know, running traffic to book into a call, whether that's paid, organic, you know, whatever the source is, we're, you know, taking that away, taking the hassle of that away and using AI to kind of like supercharge that to where, you know, I don't know if you saw in the chat, I had somebody on Sunday morning at like 5 o'clock, book a call while I was asleep, and everything just works. And so that's the biggest area I'm trying to like super niche down on and be known for. So.
Okay. And this is something, because we've had a couple calls and this is something that we've talked about, is I know what I'm good at. I'm good at podcasting. I'm great at building relationships. I'm great at interviewing, but I suck at graphics. I suck at marketing and branding. So, but you taught me to, you know, do what you're great at. Cause Gary Vaynerchuk taught me, you know, fuck what you're not good at, triple down on what you're good at, and then get somebody that's good at whatever you're not good at and hire them. So, I think that's the number one reason most businesses fail, because they try to be a jack of all trades. And if you're only good at one thing and you're horrible at everything else, then your business will never grow because you're not getting the results that you need. Are you seeing this a lot now, especially with new business owners?
Yeah, I am. And it's funny, if you compare the clients, I'll give you a perfect example. So my I had a client back in last year who was a business owner. And again, I've been very quickly iterating and trying different service offerings, different price points. So I had someone on like a very low ticket price, do it yourself, you know, with the software. I just gave him access to the software and said, you know, that was some support in terms of like tech support, that kind of thing. But by and large, it was just do it yourself. And he struggled a lot. And, you know, I obviously take responsibility for that because, you know, it's my fault as the business owner. But the interesting part of that was he stayed on for a few months. He left and was like, this just isn't, you know, working for me. Contrast that with my first client who, you know, was very much a done for you service. And he was just like, you know, let me write the check and I'll see you in a year. And, you know, we'll come up on the 1 year renewal. And he was like, let me, you know, give me options on how long you want me to renew for, you know? And he was like, yeah, it's been great. And it's, you know, about understanding like what type of service you're offering. And we even had this conversation this week in the Bunker Labs, which is why it's kind of fresh in my mind. It's like, what kind of clients are you going to be going after? Cause if you're trying to help, you know, saying that you're going to help everyone means you're not helping anyone. And so you have to really focus down on the type of business owner and the type of business that you want to, you know, be best at supporting.
But also, you know, for me, I have a bunch of different tiers of my business. And a lot of times, because I'm a big Alex and Layla Hormozi guy, you know, they even talk about, you know, the people that pay the least are going to be the highest maintenance. Where a lot of times if you have your high paying customers and they're just like, just send me the invoice, you know, as long as you're providing the services, you know, just send me the invoice. I don't have to know the back and forth, but a lot of people, you know, they try to go to the lowest, the lowest common denominator, the cheapest. But then that's where a lot of when you get low hanging fruit, you know, that's when you get a lot of ants.
Yeah.
So talk about that is how you've changed since you started this business, how you've moved up into your pricing and realizing that, hey, you know, this is where the money's at. As long as I'm providing enough value, which I think a lot of people don't realize it, in order to charge more, you have to add more value to make it worth it. So talk about that a little bit, because I think that's amazing. Something that you've started doing and I've been watching since you started this.
Yeah. And that's a really good point. So, you know, what you can sell a service at, they asked us this in the introduction of the Bunker Labs, and there was lots of great wrong answers that people gave. And, you know, it's based on the value that you bring, right? Because some people were pulling out equations like, well, it cost me this much, and then I multiply it by this and I add this. And they're like, you know, that's the wrong way of thinking about it. Or, you know, I look at my competitors. That's the worst possible way to look at it. I look at my competitors and I do whatever they're doing. Maybe slightly cheaper, right? That's the race to the bottom. And it's not going to help you because you need to be able to, you know, sustain your business to provide that high level of service. And so that's really the way I look at it is, okay, you know, the offer and the service that I provide to be so good that there's no question, right? They're like, the value this brings is worth, you know, multiples above what I'm paying, and doing that in a way that obviously is sustainable and profitable because it's a business. And so that's really been the shift in the focus. And for me, it's a lot of a mindset shift because I started out in, you know, personal development and coaching and dealing more of like a B2C mindset where you're like working with an individual. And now I'm actually more B2B focus. So I'm like working with businesses and especially like established businesses, they just, a lot of times they think differently, right, than a consumer or an individual person is going to think about spending money on something. A lot of businesses that I've seen, especially as you get larger, I would say like the medium-sized businesses, you see it still, you know, struggling mindset-wise with some of the small businesses, but generally by the time you get to a more experienced small to a medium-sized business, they understand investing in, you know, that it's an investment in their business as well. It's not necessarily just an expense. And if you know, if you're being seen as just an expense, then that's on you, right, to fix your service, to make it bring more value. And so that, I think that's been the biggest mindset shift in the last year that I've had, because, and I'm seeing it, right. There's customers that I have that like you said, just tell me where to, you know, send the billing invoice every month. And, you know, I don't need to know all the ins and outs. You turned it on, it's working, and I'm getting the result you know, that I expected. So,
but I also think, you know, there's a difference between service-based business and a goods-based business. Like I 100%. Had somebody, like when I hire somebody, when somebody comes to be a sponsor of the show. It's a 3-month minimum. And the reason why I tell them is because, listen, guys, if I'm watching TV and I see a Coke commercial, I'm not going to go grab my car keys, get in the car, and go buy myself a Coke. But because they say that the average touch point is between 7 and 9 times somebody seeing your product before they will even buy it. Yep. And I think a lot of businesses, you know, they're not playing they're playing the short game. They're not really playing a long game, and I want the ROI now. And you're like, but you got to realize it takes a while to get your name to be seen out there. And I think a lot of people quit before they even start seeing some, you know, because they might do a Facebook ad once and be like, you know what, it doesn't work. So I think you have to put in, if you're a business, you have to put in time and realize your ROI may not come in dollars real quick, but it's going to come out because now your business is being seen everywhere. And once they start saying, wait a minute, I seen that Joey guy. I seen him in Vet Tribe. I seen him in the council. I seen him on Facebook. Let me see what he's got to say. Because once your face becomes familiar, a lot of people are like, all right, I'm going to invest in him. I've seen him enough.
Yep.
He's not. So talk about that is the difference between, you know, a service-based business and a goods-based business.
Yeah, that's an important point. I really can't touch on goods-based businesses because I've never been a part of one. I want to focus on what you were talking about there with the mindset and that long-term investment, because, you know, I started this a year ago, and I look at it as I'm still like super new, right? Some people say I've been doing this for a year already. I say I've only been doing this a year. And I think that distinction is like very important, because, you know, this is not something that I'm just going to, oh, well, I did a year, it did this, and it is what it is, right? No, like I've, you know, got long-term vision and plans for this. And so it's about like having that mindset with the business. And then I think the first thing you talked about with, you know, the 7 touch points and all that, people just underestimate the volume, myself included, right? Because you can read about it in a book. I've read all the, you know, good books, and until you're actually going out there and like executing on it and like putting in the reps, that's when you really start to understand. Even if you've, you know, read an example of, okay, well, I need to do 100 times the volume to get 10 times the result or whatever it is, especially when you're just starting out, you're like, yeah. But then when you're actually trying to go out there and execute it, that's when you really start to see it. You know, and in some ways, the fact that like I got my first 2 clients so easily and quickly hurt me from a mindset perspective, because I was like, oh, this is easy, right? I talked to 2 people and they became clients. And so that kind of like messed my frame up for how much effort it takes. And, you know, when you're talking about like growing a business to a higher level, 6-7 figures, it's an entire different level of volume and work that is required. And I'm starting to understand that from a firsthand experience in terms of like putting in the work myself versus just reading about it.
Okay. Now also, you know, don't you think that like for me, when I first started out, and even now, if I lose a client, when I first started out, I would get mad and be like, F them, screw them. But now it's like, I still have the relationships with them. I'm still friends with them. I still have that, you know, because even if me and you don't work together after a couple months or whatever, we're always going to be friends. You're always going to be my brother. But I sit back if I lose a client and I'm saying, you know, even like Alex and Layla talk about, or even, you know, Robert or Marshall Tarrant say, what part did I play? Did I not provide enough value? Why did they leave?
Yep.
And I think once you have that level of, you know, not blaming everything else, the economy, the president, blah, blah, blah. And you start thinking, okay, what part did I play in it and how can I get better? I think that's when you automatically, your mindset goes through the roof because you're taking self, you're realizing what the problems are. And then when you have a mastermind like the Warrior Council, where you can just say, hey, you know, Marshall, Robert, you know, Andy Nelson, I fucked up. Where did you see me fucking up and how can I improve it? Once you have your mindset and a mind and a mastermind together, I think you become unstoppable. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I agree. I'll offer hopefully a concrete example that makes sense. So I had a client, they left, and the reason was because he actually got, this was an insurance agency, and he got promoted to be kind of above multiple insurance agencies. So he didn't need the service for his individual. He was doing like hiring for actual agents, not like leads for the insurance services. But you know, I was like, okay, initially, right, to kind of protect myself, my ego is like, okay, well, he got promoted. Obviously he's not doing this anymore. He would leave. But the more I thought about it, I was like, well, if my service was really as good as I think it is, he would have referred me to other people when he got promoted, and he didn't yet. Right. And so it's like, okay, what can I do to make my service so good that if somebody leaves, they would refer me to other people, if they really don't need it. Right. How would the word of mouth, like the positive word of mouth, work for me? And so I think that's some of what your point is with this mindset shift around, okay, if I lose a client or things don't go the way, you know, that I expect or want them to, it's like, what's the lesson there? And it's a little bit more nuanced, because you have to you can take the wrong lesson from it. And so that's where having the Warrior Council or having a mastermind group helps, is because you have people that have more experience than you, and say, what is the lesson that I should learn? Because I can initially look at it and say, okay, here's the lesson that I learned, but maybe that's not the most productive lesson or the lesson that's going to help move me along. And so having that, you know, group of other people, like-minded entrepreneurs, that kind of thing, is very critical to, you know, learning the right lessons and moving forward faster in a way that just, you know, like you said, does supercharge what you're doing.
And I love, like, what our group is just not only talking about the financial, but we're also part of the Telegram group where we talk about health. You know, we talk about spirituality. We talk about relationships, because we're more than just entrepreneurs. Mm-hmm. You know, we're fathers, we're husbands. You know, we have friends, we got families. We want to stay healthy. And the reason why I bring it up, because you're almost about to complete your 75 hard. And Andy Frisella, I love you, brother. I love you. I love you. I love everything you're doing. Love the podcast. If you don't know about the MFCEO project, you need to check it out. So, but talk about how, you know, doing the 75 hard, how it's helped you physically, not only physically, but also mentally, and helped your business too.
Yeah. So definitely shout out to Andy and the Real AF podcast that I listen to a lot. 75 hard program. So I'm on day 73 as of this recording. So by the time this launches, I'll be knock on wood complete. But yeah, so I started to hear about it, I would say towards the end of, the end of 2023 last year, sometime like that October, November timeframe. I started really, this kind of came about because I was trying to narrow in the amount of like information that I was listening to, because I started to recognize that I was caught in this like self-improvement cycle of, I listened to all these different podcasts about stuff, but I wasn't actually doing anything about it. And so I was like, okay, I'm only going to listen to two or three very key podcasts that I think are like worthwhile for me to listen to. And one of those was Real AF. And so I started to look at it, and, you know, people come up with obviously New Year's resolutions. And I was like, I'm not going to do that, because even a year or two ago, when I delved into my own world of podcasting for a brief little bit, I talked about New Year's resolutions and the failure rate and all that. And so I was like, I want to make a real change. And it was very uncomfortable, honestly, to like just commit. But I knew mentally that's what I had to do. And I think, you know, the mental toughness aspect of it, I bought the book to read as my first book, doing the 10 pages a day thing. And so that really helped me kind of understand. And I think that mindset shift I've had over the last, you know, 70 days has been the biggest benefit. You know, we're talking about before this, is just mentally clearing, you know, the noise and the clutter that's been going on in my head and allowing me to focus. It's also helped me have more confidence to like have tough conversations, and, you know, mostly with myself, right, to call my own BS out and where I've been slacking and not doing Because Andy talks about in the book, you know, what you're experiencing and what you're going through right now is not a result of what you did, you know, yesterday. It's a result of like your last 1,000 days. He's like, if I take anybody and look at their last 1,000 days of what they've done, the result of the life they're living is what they deserve from the last 1,000 days of action. And so I knew that this was a way to kind of kick off my, you know, next 1,000 days, if you will, that are going to be better. So that's
okay, but then that was, you also get, you know, there's going to be people out there. I don't have time. I don't like to read. But they're the same people that are going to binge watch something on Netflix for like a whole Sunday.
Yeah.
Where even if you get out, like for me, I get out every morning and I invested $15 in Audible. And I'm always listening. I think my newest book was is by Patrick Bet-David, Pick Your Enemies Wisely. So for me, I'm always learning, even though I'm exercising. And I find if I'm exercising and my mind is free, that stuff kind of gets stuck in there. Where if I'm home reading a book, the phone's going off, the kids are there, the wife is there. So I really can't focus. And sometimes, like you said before we got on, sometimes you just like to have that quietness, that stillness. And I don't think many people have even 5 minutes of nothing in their ears for the day. So talk about how important that's been for you.
Yeah, I mean, that's been the single most important component of the task you have to do every day for 7 pounds hard for me has been the outside workout, which I typically would do at Ruck. And so, you know, doing that in, obviously I live in North Carolina, so people have way more extreme weather than I have, but, you know, I've done it when it was 13 degrees one day and a lot of times in the rain. I've actually found that I enjoy it more when it's like cold and rainy and, you know, kind of sucks because I know other people aren't out there doing that. They're not willing to do that. And so I take a lot of pride in that now. And then the other aspect, what you're talking about, just that, like having that time by yourself, that's where I've grown the most is, you know, a lot of times I'll listen to, again, one of those couple podcasts I talked about, but in general, it was either that or sometimes I would just walk in silence and, you know, be alone with my thoughts. And I think that's something that a lot of people don't do these days just with social media and, you know, the busyness of life. But at the end of the day, you have to make time. And so, you know, I want to touch on that, what you said, you know, people saying, I don't have time. You either make time or you don't at the end of the day. And I think if people really evaluate their life and they look at what they're spending their time on, right? Because I couldn't tell you any popular TV shows, right? No idea. If it's not like a kid's show for one of my kids, I don't watch it. I don't watch the news. I don't, you know, participate in activities that take away from the things that are valuable to me because I'm in a period of my life, a phase of my life where I'm focusing a lot on growth, professionally and personally. And that just, you have to make time for it or it's not going to happen. It doesn't happen by accident. You don't get to where you want to be just by putting in the time, if you will, in terms of like, oh, well, I've been alive for this many years. I should have these things. That's not how life works. And so I think 75 hard is just really supercharged and ingrained that in me. I know, you know, coming from the military background, I knew the level of effort required, right, to like fly fighter jets in combat and get to that level. And I was kind of missing that in some aspects. Missing that like drive and that purpose, and 75 hard is definitely giving me back that. So,
all right. So, you know, let's talk about mentorship and accountability. Like, and I want to give a big shout out to Brian Lovinger. He's in our group. He's my accountability partner for keeping me healthy. I'm getting back in shape because we're going on a cruise. So I want to be shredded like it was when I first got with my wife 14 years ago. So I have a big and high goal, and Brian is being my accountability partner for the next couple of months. I want to give a big shout out to Brian. So, and he's also got where he's coming on the show next week. We'll be talking about how to take care of your finances before, during, and after being in the military. But now talk to us about how important mentorship and accountability is.
Oh, it's super important. I would say just, you know, and again, obviously we're both in the Word Council, so we talk about it, but, you know, I've got mentor that aren't in the Warrior Council that helped me out as well. But it's just about like having that mentor that helps you, you know, obviously it keeps you accountable is one aspect, but it's also like seeing the blind spots, right? Because I'm approaching areas that I've never been to before in my life. And so it's like, I don't even know what I don't know. And so that's where the mentorship comes in, where it's like, okay, have you thought about this, right? Is that, and a lot of times it's like, I didn't even know that was something to think about, right? And so that's where the mentorship to me has been the most beneficial, because, you know, it should in some ways help you not make some of the mistakes that your mentors made, or, you know, you might have otherwise made if you didn't have a mentor or some help. So that's, okay. I mean.
But now you've been in business, you said 3 years now officially.
Yeah. Since the LLC. Yeah.
Now this is a teaching podcast also. Our perfect avatar are veterans and first responders that are just getting out and they want to start a business. So if you could go back, sit across from yourself a year ago and say, these are the top three things you need to know before you even start a business, what would you tell yourself?
Oh man, let me think about that. Let's see, top three things. So I would say the number one thing is that just like you need to be directionally correct, which I've stolen that term from Alex Ramosi, is the first one I heard say it. But taking action towards a certain direction is going to benefit you way more than coming up with the best idea ever. Because what you start out doing may have nothing to do with what you're doing 3 or 4 years from now.
Yeah.
And I'll caveat that to say there's a little bit of balance with that. Obviously, you need to make progress, but at the same time, you need to stick with something for long enough. And so when I started out, I, you know, established an LLC, I started the online brand and was very much thought I was going to do like veteran help. And then I was going to do some kind of coaching. And so when I made this shift now into the software, it's like, okay, I need to give this enough time to actually know if this is going to work. And so, you know, this does get talked about some other places, but it's like a year, or even sometimes, you know, if you look back on the 3 years, I've not done the same thing for 3 years in a row. So I can't say, right, that it did or didn't work. I'm in year one of this new experiment, right, we'll call it. And I think that's how you have to look at it. Your first business is really an experiment in you learning and paying down the ignorance debt that you don't know that you have. And so to kind of tie this back together, in the three things I would tell people is to take action, to commit to whatever it is you're going to do directionally correct for a long period of time, longer than you think you need to. And then the third thing would be the mentorship, because I think I resisted that for a while. Oh, I can learn it on YouTube. And I'm not saying you can't, like all the information is out there, but it's taking the information and actually applying it is where it helps, right? You can't really do that by yourself, or you can, it would just take you a lot longer. So those are the three kind of things.
You know, and I agree with that point, you know, because that's exactly why I'm launching my new book, which will be out soon, is because I've spent over $60,000 and over 10,000 hours to learn my craft. And if I could teach you how to do it in 8 weeks for only $1,000, it's fucking worth it. You don't have to go through the whole growing process. So I think that's one thing I love that you talk about. And it was something that, you know, that Gary Vee talked about in his latest episode, and his new book comes out. I think his new book's out already. He also talks about how a lot of people be like, oh, you know, if they're going to get into the AI, oh, there's so many people doing this already. You know, there's so many people doing this business already. Well, nobody's doing anything new. You're just trying to make whatever's out there, you're trying to make it better. Mm-hmm. So talk about that, is how some people be like, oh, I want to start a business. And you're going to have all the people around you. Oh, you shouldn't start a business. You know, you don't need to start a business. What do you know about business? And you don't do anything because you're listening to everybody else that hasn't done anything. So yep. Talk about that a little bit, about that. You know, not sometimes people in your same people that are in your boat are not wrong with you. They're actually poking holes in your boat.
Oh, yeah, that's 100% true. And the way I look at it is, if they don't have the life that I want, then I don't really need to take their advice. just because they've been around, you know, as long or longer than I've been, if the result of their life is not a life I would want to live, then obviously they're heading a different direction. And it doesn't necessarily mean that's a bad thing, right? It just means they're doing things differently, and they're going to get the results that they, you know, expect based on the amount of effort they're putting in. And I want more and different things out of my life. And so I'm going to work towards those. So that's, you know, for folks that are kind of struggling with that, to understand that that's kind of normal to say, like, oh, and I still have people that, oh, you know, when I try to explain it to my family a lot of times, right, like my extended family and stuff, it's just some website thing, right? I don't even try to like go into the details or explain it, because I'm like, I don't actually personally like need the external validation. I know for some folks that's a big driver of their motivation. I've never needed that, which has been super beneficial for me. And then I actually work well off of like having a little bit of a chip on my shoulder. So sometimes people tell me I can't do things, actually motivates me in a positive way. But yeah, that's, you know, I would say if you're in that position where there's not a lot of people around you, the nice thing about the world we live in today is that you can change that without actually even having to change where you live. Obviously, if you're young and, you know, you don't have anything really tying you down, then it would make sense to move to somewhere, you know, where you have more people doing what you're doing. But you don't need to necessarily in this day and age, you know, just with social media, the internet, you can actually use it in a positive way and be around people that are doing the things you want to do virtually and expose yourself more to that kind of like thinking, because that is what's going to fundamentally change you over time.
Okay, so break it down Barney style. I'm not a big tech guy, but break it down Barney style. Exactly what you do for customers, and when they first come to you, what do you actually do for them?
Yeah. So my, you know, ideal customer is going to be, you know, an established business. I'll work with, you know, some new businesses as well, but ideally you want to work with somebody who already has, you know, an offer, a service that they provide that they've, you know, validated works, right? You need to have something to provide. And then essentially what I focusing on, and again, there's some other tiers to it, but I won't get into all the different aspects, but the kind of the core offer, if you will, of everything is the AI and conversational booking. And there's some nuance to that, because you hear AI chatbots and people have a lot of different like preconceived notions about what that means, what that does. And so like at the very basic level, the reason I'm focusing on that is because, you know, I believe that you can use this as a tool to aid in your business. It's not going to replace everything for you. I see a lot of people selling chatbots as this thing that it's just going to close all your deals for you, and it's going to sell everything. It's going to do everything for you. And I don't look at it that way, especially for the type of service businesses I go after. You know, they're using it to increase their efficiency of themselves and or their team, to where, you know, they can actually focus on working with the customers, taking the calls, not sitting there booking the calls and or, you know, paying somebody at like a call center or somewhere to do this. It's actually, you know, you control the lead flow. That was one of the struggles I had when I very first signed somebody up. They were used to a model where they basically paid for a lead. They paid X amount of dollars and they got, you know, X amount of leads. And I said, no, you're generating your own leads. And this software, like your account is yours. You know, we're not selling leads to anybody else. Like you are generating your own leads for your business. And they love that, right? Because it's higher quality leads. They don't have to do anything in terms of like the amount of effort they have to put in to book these people into calls is very minimal. Once everything's set up, it you know, you provide the inputs and it just works. And so that's really the focus. Hopefully that's Barney style enough to say, like, yeah, you know, if you have a service and you have leads and it's taking a lot of your time to get them onto calls, that's the whole purpose. That's the singular kind of focus of what I'm doing.
Well, and the reason why I asked, because I was with GNC for over 30 years. And the doors would open at 9, they would close at 9. But as soon as 9 o'clock ended, that's when the sales ended. And But like you were saying, you know, earlier, you know, you're getting calls at 4 o'clock in the morning. You're getting people booking calls all night long, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. So, you know, a lot of people don't realize that once you go digital, you know, the internet never closes. So yep. you're going to have lead flow coming in 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. So talk about a little bit how that's a different, whole different mindset. Because when my dad passed 3 years ago, I just put a digital product out there just because I thought it was bullshit. I took a 12-week class on digital marketing. I called bullshit. So I put a product out there. And when my dad passed and we were taking care of mom, I had money coming in. Every morning I would wake up, there's money in my bank account. And I was mm-hmm. like, holy shit, this stuff really works. But I think now with what you're doing and with automated technology and AI, I think it's easier to make money as long as it's a quality system, right?
Yep. Yeah. So the way I see it, and I'm, you know, very much for like supporting and helping, you know, I'll use small businesses as an umbrella term, but you know, that doesn't mean like mom and pop shops, right? But I'm very much in support of using that technology to help those businesses, again, reach those customers. Can you talk about the after hours responding, the after hours support? And you know, if you're a small business that doesn't have this, and somebody messages you after hours, they're just most likely going to go to the big box store or the big, you know, whatever corporation that has this stuff in place. And so I don't want that, right? I want more small businesses to use technology in a productive way. And I think that's really a lot of what drives me as well, is like helping people understand you don't have to, again, what we talked about, playing to your strengths. You don't have to know how to do all this stuff. And you know, I certainly don't expect everyone to learn every aspect. But just know where your strengths are, where your weaknesses are, and then, you know, work with, especially I feel like in the B2B world, a lot of the businesses that do well in the long term are much more collaborative as opposed to competing. Now, obviously you are competing with some people, but it's collaborative effort, to kind of, you know, help everyone's business out in the long run.
And, you know, I've been in a tribe since day one, when we all had like 500 members. But I realized that in business, if you just show up, do a great job, and pick up the fucking phone, you're going to beat like 90% of the people out there. Because a lot of people, like we tried to get an air conditioning guy to come out on a Saturday. I called like 10 places. Nobody picked up. Nobody followed up. And we're willing. We had our credit card in our hand and nobody picked up except for one company. Now we'll never leave them again. So talk about how important just picking up the phone or doing follow-up is.
Oh, it's critical. I mean, you know, I don't have all the stats in front of me, but in terms of like, if your business gets a call and you don't answer, I mean, it's minutes, right? They're calling somebody else. You know, some type of response needs to come from you, or they're just going to move on. And a perfect example, you talked about the AC unit. I experienced something similar last year where we had a plumbing issue, and it was like, I knew the business I could call that everyone recommended. And because they're the one who always answered their phone, they were actually booked solid, right, for months. And they were referring me to other plumbers, which is actually a great way to do it, right? Because they were, you know, gathering that goodwill in that business. But if you're not able to respond, or, you know, because a lot of people, you know, they're in the business, they're helping customers, or they're doing, you know, the things that they need to do, but you need to have some system in place. And, you know, it doesn't always necessarily need to be what I'm selling, right? But I would just encourage people to have that mindset of like really focusing on the customer experience, no matter what that looks like. And that's what will help to drive more of that business. And that, you know, for 99% business out there, it is having some way to respond to the inbound, you know, calls, messages, DMs you get on Facebook. I mean, there was one company I reached out to early on And it took them 4 days to respond back about paint, like a local paint store. And I'm like, I'm sorry, I don't really care how good your prices are or the fact that you're a local business. You know, 4 days, I've gone to somebody else and I've gotten my paint. And it's just, it is what it is, yeah. You know? So
last couple of questions, because I love to do this. When Marshall was on, I did this. When Robert was on, I did this. Tell us a little bit about Marshall Terran.
Tell them about Marshall. What do you want to know about Marshall?
What are your thoughts on Marshall? And we're going to talk about a couple guys from the tribe. But give us a quick down and dirty on Marshall.
Yeah, I don't know that Marshall and I have gotten on one call together, separate from the work council meetings. And I've actually not met him in person, but I've been impressed with the way he kind of runs the group. You know, I would say that's stood out the most. I've not dealt with him from a business standpoint yet, but just the amount of leadership that he displays in kind of wrangling us all together, if you will, in the work council and keeping us steering in the right direction in terms of, you know, focusing on collaboration improvement, I think is great. So,
and he looks great in a t-shirt.
Yeah.
Robert, the warrior strategist Garcia.
Oh man. He's helped me out a ton. So he helped me, I got introduced to him, through one of my clients, Brian Dyer, who does the Kirk coaching stuff. And we got connected prior to even joining the work council. And then once I was in, I've done, had him do a PR press release for me, and just his insights and his understanding of like that whole process and how all that stuff works has been incredible. And then he, helped knowing that level of effort that he was putting in really helped motivate me back in January when I was finishing up my own website, because I needed to be ready for the press release, and seeing the amount of effort he was putting in helped motivate me to be like, okay, I need to make this, tweak this, and make this website that he's going to drive all this traffic to be even better. So yeah, I think he's incredible at what he does, and it helps raise everyone else up.
Last but definitely not least, Mr. Corey Thompson.
Oh yeah. So, I've had a couple, individual conversations with Corey. I think it's really cool. I like the fact that he's in, a different, but he's in the B2B space, which I've found that I actually kind of like doing that more, working with businesses as opposed to, like I said, I originally started, not B2B, and, both kind of what he does, with Fusion Growth Partners and like that whole company. I really like the concept because I think it's doing growth, and it's helping like these small businesses out, which is, we kind of have that in common where we're like wanting to help small businesses grow and be more productive. And so, I think he does a really good job with the consistency and for it to be one man out there putting all the amount of stuff out there that he's putting out kind of consistently is motivating to me, for sure. So
I love it. And I want to thank you for working with me. I think on both our ends, I think we're up by like 250% on as far as engagement and stuff going. So I just want to say thank you for trusting me and being a sponsor of the show. But now, so how do we find you? How do we get in touch with you? If we want to have you come, have a call with us to see if they fit with you for business wise, how do we get in touch with you?
Yeah. So, my biggest, audience, and I'm most active on Instagram, as not another average Joe. So not underscore another underscore AVG underscore Joe. And then otherwise you can find my, business page. It's just Wonder System Marketing, both on Instagram and on Facebook. And those have links to the Instagrams and the Facebook page. All have links to my website and all the services. So, but yeah, DMs are always open. Very, very active on social media. Less active during 75 Hard, I will be getting more active and posting a lot more content, especially centered around this AI and automation stuff here in the next coming weeks. So.
All right. So what do you have coming up? Do you have anything special that you offer as far as anything for veterans or first responders?
Let's see. So at the moment, my special is I'm doing a promotion on the AI appointment booking like software itself. So I have a demo. If you go through and run the demo, you're basically paying the setup fee and you're getting 2 months free. And the reason that I'm doing that is I want to, you know, obviously I want to help people out and kind of get them in the door, but I also want to give them a few months to experience and like see the return or, you know, see the AI in action. So they basically just pay the setup fee and then they get 3 months to kind of run their bot, and then they can make a decision from there. There's no, you know, contract or anything like that. And so that's my, you know, best promotion, if you will, at the moment. So
now how do they get that? Is that just going through Instagram?
It's linked on my Instagram, but yeah, it's I couldn't believe this domain was available. It's actually bookmorecallswithai.com/demo.
Oh, really?
Okay. Yeah, I just bought it like 2 weeks ago and somehow that was still available.
Brother, so. I just want to say thank you. I'm so grateful for you, not only just being a brother, but also being a brother in Christ. And I appreciate mm-hmm. you. And I'm so grateful for our friendship. And thank you for everything you've done for me. And just thank you for believing in me when a lot of people did.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having me on. And you've been tremendous help. So thank you.
I love it. So guys, make sure you check out his IG. Make sure you check out his Facebook. He's doing some awesome posts. So make sure you check him out. And guys, if you're interested in automation and AI, Joey is the man to go to. All right, Joey, have a great week, brother.
Thanks, you too.
All right, guys, remember, vertical momentum, the only way to go is but up. I will talk to you guys later. Have an amazing week and enjoy this beautiful, it's almost like spring. It's 75 here in New Jersey, so enjoy it. It's mm-hmm. not the 75 hard day here. All right, brother, be good. Have a great week.
Thanks.